All right, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and it's good to be here. It's truly good to be here. Every day is a day I thank God for being here, because being in McCreary and from the family that I'm from, a lot of the men didn't make it that far, but a few did.
You're the oldest one we know of yet, right?
Well, from
the records we have.
Well, from the there was one or two way back yonder after they first come here, but we all got down to the 71 to 75 year deal, and that was about it. And all of a sudden, and I think one of the guys up at Greasy Creek, North Carolina, made it a little further than that. But this is kind of unusual for my family to do that. Seems like something would come along about 70 years, and that'd be about it. And that's the way it was. So thank you for being with us again, and turn with me back to Acts 24. The Apostle Paul is before Felix now, or can be before Felix. He wasn't with Felix all the time because he was a centurion, a Roman soldier. Not with his people. I think he was kind of on a special deal whenever Paul got to where he was. But you know, when the chief captain sent Paul down to Felix's place and was going to leave him there till they could find out exactly what they was going to do with him, he hooked up a total, and now the chief captain over in the Jerusalem temple area had 1,000 men there. And he took 470 men to take one man about 35 miles.
Total, half of his total complement, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's crazy.
And and so this was when the nephew of the Apostle Paul was telling the chief captain all this stuff. The chief captain told him, "Don't tell nobody else, because I want to be the one that knows this, so I can at least know some of what I need to do here."
Yeah.
And so we're going to start back with Acts 24:16. And this is Paul speaking, still speaking. And so to bring you up to speed, we're going to go back to verse 16, and we're going to start with 16 and just read 16, and then we'll get down to 17. And verse 16 says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." This is Paul speaking. He said in 14, "But this I confess," because, you know, he was rebutting Tertullus's big, or kind of a, wasn't all that big a grandiose thing, but he was up there a kind of getting his beautiful licks in to make his point. And so this is where we wound up there in verse 17. And so we'll do this that way tonight, and we'll just go ahead and read 17 since we read 16. And he says, now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nations and offerings. So the alms there was the situation when he was in Ephesus preaching and teaching those 2.5 years, and he left there and he told them then, you know, he said, well, I have told you everything I'm supposed to tell you at this time. And he says, you'll see my face no more. But he kind of left the door open in a kind of a sense that, but this may not be the last you'll hear from him, but to see me? No, you probably won't do that. So this is part of it. I read my notes. It says, now after, and that little Greek word is dia, and this is where we get our idea of a diameter, meaning that if they was around something round, that it means to go straight through it, straight through the center of it. And so he says, now after the many years of going straight through it with you, okay, it was about 5 years after Paul's last visit to Jerusalem and to the temple. And so he had taken a vow, you remember, before he left Ephesus. And the consummation of this vow was going before the high priest at the temple. And he had to pay a gratuity or something like that to the high priest to get all this done, because the high priest was living off of God's people anyway. But, you know, this is part of the whole deal. Anyway, so he had been over there for about 2 years and a half at Ephesus, and then he had been in Asia for a little while, and now, you know, he got him stirred up over there with the Princess Diana thing, and so he had to leave, and he had to conjure his way into these boats and get on their ship. He could get on one and go a little ways and then get off and maybe walk to the next place to where he could get back on to throw his people off of his trail. That was the kind of the deal that they had come up with to maybe get away from them people over there that were there. But there's one they didn't get away from, Paul told. Because he was the one that pointed Paul out when he was in the temple finishing his vow. He said, oh, there he is. You know, and so that's how all this other business got started after he had left the Ephesian people. And so this is where we find ourselves. After many years. So, in the note in the Companion Bible said it was about 5 years later, since Paul's last visit to Jerusalem and to the temple, he said, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. So he had what he had made when he was in Ephesus is doing tent work with these people, because he was a tent maker, and he didn't want to make charge to them for his being there, and so he was making his own way there, and he says, and offerings, his offerings, you know, was one thing. But his but his alms was the other thing. So he had two different bags of money that he had for these people that were living around there to help them out somewhat. And so the alms, he said, was to my nation and offerings, and he didn't make a split the difference really between them. And the offerings there in the Greek is prosphora. And so Paul had money that he was going to give anyway. So when James found out he was coming to do this thing, well, James said, well, you join the group of four that I've got here, and you can pay their fee for all five of you. And so it really didn't cost Paul anything extra, I don't think, but he put in what he felt like he owed anyway, knowing Paul's way of doing things, and realized that, well, yeah, he was there to bring money, and it's kind of like his other trips he went on. He had money to give to people, but he also worked. And I thought that was a commendable thing of a man of God that had went through already what Paul had gone through with and was still going through. And they were people waiting around to find him to kill him.
You got to remember, as a Pharisee, he had it good.
They had agreed.
They lived nicely. I mean, it would be like going from being a millionaire today to a poor person.
Yeah.
I mean, he throwed it all away when he met Christ.
Yeah, and
like you said, piled it up on the side of the road like so much dung. All that I count
like
as lost.
Pile of dung. Yeah, he said, "What you guys have been promised, that's to me, it's the pile of dung."
He was went from the top of the heap to the most hated man in Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was down through 17. So let's go to verse 18, and we'll get a little deeper in the mire here. Verse 18 says, "Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple." So he had to go through a purification process. And the high priest had to go and get ready and do all this stuff. So, and he was probably living off of the gifts that he got from the Jewish people and the others. And so that seems like it would be something that you wasn't going to get rich off of either, but nevertheless, somebody was doing it for, and God said, "Whereupon, or in which, or while engaged in the offerings." Whatever was going on there. It said certain Jews from, and that "from" there is apo in the Greek, from Asia, found me purified. And that word purified there in the Greek is Hagonazo, ending my low, ending my no alongside of, oh, ending with my sidekicks of the four others that were with me in the temple, neither which multitude, a crowd, nor with tumult, which is uproar. He was in the temple, he was being purified, He was taking care of himself and the other four guys in the act of their vow that they made in their purification, and was getting over this. And that's where they seen Paul. They seen him in there with these other guys and doing his thing and paying for their purification process along with the other things, because he had God's money on him to give to these other people, because the people from Ephesus made up money and gave to Paul, and he carried it until he was going to get back to the area of the temple in Jerusalem, which is about, I guess, 5 or 6 miles apart, because the temple is up on the top of the hill or mountain, and Jerusalem is kind of down below that. There's two different levels there. And if you go up, if it says in the Bible you're going up to the temple area. And if you're going down, you're going from the temple down back down towards Jerusalem. It's down towards Jerusalem, but up toward the temple. That's the way that looks in the economy of the where they built these things then. So that's what God had chosen, and that's the way it was that it was made. And so the multitude or the crowd is what we would call a crowd, and not with tumult would be an uproar. But now the crowd or multitude, you see multitude quite a lot in the scripture, but it can be a crowd, or it can be in the Greek word, the oshilos, nor with turmoil. Now turmoil generally is an uproar of some sorts that they try to quell without any bodily harm being done, but it's not always, that always didn't happen. And so this was the situation that they were in there. And of course, getting there, Paul and his band of people were going to stay with this guy that we read about a lesson or two ago. And I don't know that Paul had ever met him until he met him. And he picked up the garment that Paul had. It's called a
girdle.
And he bound it up and held it up and said, okay, the man that owns this, I mean, he gets to Jerusalem, this is how he's going to be. He's going to be bound. And you know that started an uproar with those guys with Paul, because they had been with him, you know, coming from the Ephesian and getting away from the Ephesian group and the guys that was doing the shrines for Diana and all this, and they had made another vow to get rid of him and all this stuff. And even when he got down there, they said, oh, that's him. And so that's when another uproar got started. And that one guy that said that was this one guy that seen him in the temple and had seen him before in Asia. And that's just how straightforward Satan works. He just keeps pounding. It's just like he keeps pounding on Paul all the time.
Yep.
And what he wants done. And that's the reason we need to think quite strongly and give God praise for taking us from one day to the next, because sometimes we get pounded and don't really know it or understand it. Verse 19 says, neither ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. So, talking about 18 and 19, it's kind of like these two should have been read together in a sense. That these people, Paul says, that seen him in the temple, they ought to have been here before thee and object if they had not against me. If they had anything against him, the guy, rather than pointing him out to somebody else, he should say, I know this man, and I'm going to point him out to you, but I'm going to go and see somebody about his situation and what he's...
Well, the whole thing was kind of a kangaroo court anyway.
Yeah, and it's just like you're toting gas around in a bucket with a fire, and if they see something, they'll just throw the gas out and light it up. Mm-hmm. Light it up. And so this is what 19 was. It says, who ought or should to have been here before thee, talking to...
He's talking about the certain Jews from Asia that saw him in the temple.
Yeah.
He said they should be here if they want to. Yeah. If they want to dispute what I'm saying, where are they?
Well, they probably spit out. And, yeah. And this one guy saw him. But, yeah. And they know how it works. And they know what they were going to do. To have been here before thee. And that Greek word is the word epi, E-P-I, and object, or to accuse, as Tertullus did in verse 2 of this chapter. You know, Tertullus came up and said, and he had been schooled on what to say, and when he got before the council and before the people there, he gave his big talk. This is Paul's talk to rebut that in a sense of a kind of a court or kangaroo court, as sometimes we call it that way. He said, if they had aught against me. So, if they've got something bad to say against him, he ought to come to Paul and said, okay, I'm going to carry you before the man. But no, they done it in a wide open court. And the next thing you know, there was a bunch of them.
He's kind of calling them out for the tacky way that they're handling their prosecution.
Yeah. Well, the chief captain... He was scared now. He is getting scared. And verse 20 goes on, and it goes on because it's just an ongoing story here. And verse 20 says, or else let these same come here, say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. See, they had him before the council of 80. I don't know if all 80 was there, but they had a quorum. And they had him before the council, and then a bunch of the... And when Tertullus said his little thing, then, you know, that's when the uproar started. And so he said, well... This is what you guys done wrong. And it's, let these same hear. So now you've got a different crowd that has come that way. If they have found any evil doing, and that Greek evil doing is epikama in me while I stood before or in front of the council. So he was in front of the council of his own people. That should have been enough to find out the whole story. They did not do it. They just wanted to kill him and get rid of him and just let everything fly out the window. And that's not Paul's deal. He has said before, he would die for the cause of Christ. And wasn't scared to die again.
No, already had.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Verse 21 says this, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. Whoa.
Yeah, split them Pharisees and Sadducees.
He finally got back at it again.
Yeah.
He couldn't let it go. He had to do it again and again and again because that was part of his job that God had given him to do. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. Except it be. Well, there's always one. For this one voice. All it takes. Satan only needs the one voice. Boom. It is game on again. That I cried standing among them. Okay, the one voice there. Except it be for this one voice or utterance. What the man said, to get things rolling again. And in the Greek, I can read this word really easy because it's phone, and that's phone. You know, that's where we call it telephone, but it was shortened up. Sometimes it's just phone in the English. But that is an easy word.
In the Greek, yeah.
In the Greek, to remember, because a voice, meaning a speaking or a voice uttered,
mm-hmm.
A speaking, except it be this guy, one guy, speaking, uttered. Phone. 21. I cried standing among, and that among is the Greek word en. It ain't in, because in the Greek it's the en. It's
that's within, usually.
Usually with, yeah. With something attached to it, generally. Okay, the EN there in 21. And of course, this is a direct quote. Touching the resurrection. So he stood before them crying, standing among them, and saying, you could put and saying there, and touching the resurrection or concerning of the dead ones, I am called into question by you this day. So he is trying here to answer the question that the chief captain had, because he never really knew exactly what the deal was and why they wanted to get Paul so bad. And I'm not sure this Roman understood, because he had charge of a bunch of men and he had to take care of their situations too, and they had been in battles and all this stuff, and they were there to keep the temple from being ransacked.
Yeah, he quite likely had no idea about the religious aspects
of what was going
on. The whole case. Yeah. All he was interested in is there's an uproar.
Yeah.
And now I find out that there's such an uproar, they want to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And they were going to kill some of my guys to get to him.
To get to him.
So now he's really interested in this whole thing.
Yeah, and they was in the things that was in the temple for whenever they would bring in an offering to be slaughtered and all this. All this was golden stuff. It was like what is in the heavenlies. And they would be a lot of emphasis put on, well, we're going to kill him, but we're going to ransack this place when we get done. You know, it's a way to get gold easy, you know. And I think the temple did get ransacked a bunch of times. I believe somebody said, I read somewhere, that it had been done 27 times off after they built it.
Yeah, the history of that temple, man, every time Israel or Jerusalem was overthrown, you know, somebody else would be delivered from
to carry it off. Yeah, absolutely. So this is this is the kind of stuff that you would realize back then that is easy pickings maybe for a bunch of people that were really out to kill somebody and do some damage or some harm. But it said, touching the resurrection concerning the dead, I am called into question by you this day. So he gets right down to the difference between, like you say, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he wasn't teaching it in the temple. He was just in there to get his self taken care of with the vow. And he wasn't in there teaching anybody anything.
We know he was left alone. Yeah. If nobody messed with him or recognized him, he would have went in the temple, he would have done his vow,
been fearful,
consecrated it, been done with it, and slipped right out very quietly.
Yeah.
And that was his point. They saw me, they created the uproar, and that's why we're here. But the root reason is because I teach resurrection of the dead.
That's what Paul was.
Well, I always got
to that's what Paul was trying to get them up to was this. Absolutely, this very thing.
Yep.
And while he had the audience, he did it.
He's going to lay it on thick.
He did it. Verse 22 says this, and when Felix heard these things, having the more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He only got part of the story. See? So, this was another ploy that he did to be able to keep Paul there until the chief captain come, because the chief captain, if you remember, sent a letter to Felix, and he didn't have a lot to say in the letter. Felix didn't get anything much from the letter, but he said, okay, I know the chief captain, and I'll see him and get to this.
I think according to this, Felix also understood a lot about the movement for Christ in that day by the Jews.
Well, he was married to a Jew.
Exactly. He knew, I need to get Lysias down here and figure out more about what's going on.
Yeah. See, even with the letter, he didn't get it. And even with Paul said here, I don't think he understood it.
Yeah, I agree.
So because he didn't get it from the paper and he couldn't understand Paul's view of the thing, he said, I'm going to hold you.
He at least knew there was more there than he already.
Yeah, and he wanted to hold Paul or keep Paul from being killed and being charged with it himself, because he already knows that Paul is a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to save his hide too.
Well, Lysias told him in the letter, this man's Roman, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure he did.
But all of this didn't satisfy Felix, because Felix was himself trying to get money out of this thing.
Yeah. Too.
So,
like any good politician, he's trying to figure the money around.
There you are. I mean, it just keeps building and keeps building. From one man to the other, to 470 men, back to down to four or five men, or I don't know if there was any of the council there at that time, but he didn't still have the answer that he felt like that he needed to keep his job intact. Well, he kept Paul for 2 years to keep his job intact and to try to get money out of the Apostle Paul. He wanted a bribe. What it amounted to, he wanted a bribe. And just like Ronnie says, he's like a lot of the other politicians that's in the world today. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge or accurate knowledge, and in the Greek, Harry Beast Iran. And that's knowledge of accuracy or understanding of that way. So Felix did have a kind of an upper hand in this, because he was married to Drusilla, that we're going to find out about here in a minute. But he deferred them. And that word deferred there is the word anaballo. Anaballo. So he wanted to kind of put it off or put it aside to a point. Like, well,
put it off.
Yeah. We're just going to put it off until we can get more knowledge.
You go to recess.
And when Lysias, the chief captain, should come down, guess where he was? He had to descend. So he was up at the temple area. Okay? And he said, and I will know the uttermost. Literally, I am going to investigate thoroughly. And in the Greek, that is dia, D-I-A, the same word we get our circumference from. The word is diagnosko. And gnosko is to have full understanding. I'm going to cut through the center to get a full
understanding. Yeah.
That's what it means.
That's a good analogy.
The things referring to your matter. And that was 22. Verse 23 says this. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or to come unto him. He's going to put him in kind of in confinement, like a solitary confinement. But he was going to give him liberty to go to the bathroom and to do these things that he needed to do his personal hygiene, I guess. So, and he, Felix, commanded, gave an order. He gave an order to this centurion because he's the governor. He has a rank over this centurion, even though the centurion has rank over these 100 men that he's over. But I don't think he has the 100 men with him, because it was this centurion that came to Felix and brought the note. And the chief captain wasn't there then. And so he commanded, and commanded that word is diathesio. Commanded a centurion, and that A there means the. And there's a note that goes with it, and it keeps that A from being an A, but it should be read the probability of one who had come with Felix. Centurion, a soldier over 100 troops. And to keep Paul, but now this centurion I don't think was with 100 men. To keep there is Terio Paul, and to let or to allow him liberty, which is equal to relaxation, and the Greek word for that is anesis, and that he, the centurion, should forbid no one, and that word is medius. M-E-D-E-I-S, Medes, of his or Paul's acquaintances, to even his own people. And the question to me was this. When he provided an order to keep Paul from getting any of his friends there, and he needed friends in those times, and these people had come with him to the temple area, and they had brought luggage and everything, and they were there and was planning to leave, but as long as Paul was there, I think Paul was still there. But what about his sister and his nephew? Had they found out where he was?
It never says.
But doesn't that give you a question? Does that not pose a question? I don't know that these people had the answer. I ain't got the answer. I'm just asking the question.
Well, it says none of his acquaintance, and an acquaintance.
Well,
in the Greek there, it's probably just people that he knows, both. Yeah. That are associated with ministry?
Yeah.
Or it could have been just family members.
Well,
like his sister and his
but family. Yeah, but if his sister and his nephew was there, I think Felix would have picked up on that. I brought this question up to try to give you an answer. That, well, he's got family here. They know about him better than anybody else does.
Or at least he has family in the area.
Yeah. Okay, they may not have been there, yeah. But he might have picked up on that. Okay. So they would have been good people coming to minister to him. while he was going through all this ordeal. And maybe some of Paul's fellow travelers were there also. I'll bet they wasn't far away.
No.
Because when them 470 carried him down the road, I think they could follow that crowd going down the road. And it took them 2 days to get there. Okay. And that's 23. And let's get involved in 24, because 24 gives you quite a little bit of information. I read it in the King James. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Oh. So Felix had went home and talked to his wife. Oh, maybe now he knows a little bit more about the way or this way, whichever one way you want to put it. Okay, and here's my note. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, and I'm not sure that Paul had ever met Drusilla, but there she was with her husband. Now, it doesn't say she was standing before Paul, but she was in the vicinity of Paul anyway. Okay. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I and had left her first husband, Azizus, king of Emesa, and had married Felix. It was no doubt that through her that Felix had his greater knowledge of thee or that way, of verse 22, which was a Jewish, he, Felix, sent for Paul. And in the Greek, that word, the send for, is metapempo, and heard him concerning, and concerning there in the Greek is the word peri, P-E-R-I. And if you want to look it up, folks, it's appendix 104-13-1. Concerning the faith and in the Greek, the Greek word of faith is pistis, and that is in appendix 150-2-1, and this is regarding or toward the Greek, the word eisis, meaning Christ, Jesus. Here in the scripture, it's just Jesus. But when it's concerning, it's not concerning just Jesus. And now, since Paul has got to where he's got to in the Word, and he's not going into the synagogues anymore, so you can literally list it as Christ Jesus now rather than Jesus Christ, because it's not to the Jew first here. Okay. We got time to do 25. There's only two, but boy, it's two more, but 26 and 27 is pretty heavy. Verse 25 says, and as he reasoned, reason there is thy lego may I. Of righteousness, which is dikeo suni. Righteousness. When he reasoned of righteousness and temperance. And temperance here can be had as self-control. It's used quite a lot as self-control and of judgment. And judgment there is the word karama. To come, Felix. Guess what? Felix trembled.
Well, he was also talking about the judgment to come.
Yeah. And Felix is standing here, a politician and a governor to boot. And he's standing there expecting to make a bribe or to get a bribe from Paul. And so he had to shake in his boots a little bit here. He trembled, and the word tremble there is
emphobos,
having been terrified. He was scared.
Can you imagine, though, anybody who could preach the coming judgment of Jesus Christ at the second coming any better than the Apostle Paul?
No.
Maybe only John. When John got the revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. But this had to be something that Felix really didn't want to hear.
That's a really interesting verse. There's a lot more behind that verse than the verse conveys.
Talking about karma, judgment to come.
You know how karma,
dream.
You know how well, Paul knew what was coming down.
So, a while ago, he said he deferred. That word in the verse 22 is anabello. Okay, here's the deferred part. And he answered, go thy way for this time, or for the present, when I have convenience. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee.
I have heard all I can take tonight.
Yeah, he don't want to go any further right now than this. He's got to go back and talk to his wife a little more. She's the one with the knowledge of how the law works, I think, in this situation.
If she was a Jewess, she probably also could have had some knowledge of the coming judgment, because all the prophets spoke of the coming
judgment. Of the coming judgment, yeah.
That was not a hidden thing.
No, it wasn't in a closet. So
no, it was right there in the scriptures. Yeah,
straight in the open. So we got two more verses. We got two more verses, and then things are going to change a little bit, but. We're going to find out that Felix is going to keep him for 2 years. But when the 2 years is up, he is going to go to him many times to try to get a bribe from him. And when Paul is not giving him no money, then the other guy is going to show up that's going to take Felix's job. Felix is going somewhere else in the realm. And so Felix left him bound, so the other guy would see him bound up to where Felix is saying in so many words, this Paul is a hard customer to deal with.
That's a good note. We're on the word call for. When Felix says, I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Well, The note is, the season never came for hearing what Paul had to teach, though Felix found opportunity often, like you said, to see if he could get a bride.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in your teaching. That scares me, but I am interested in your money.
Yeah.
Interesting how it
works. He was going to give him more liberty if he got money. But when he didn't get money and the other guy showed up, he was washed at it. He was done. He didn't have to go to Paul and face him anymore about what is coming down the road for him and his life.
Amen. That's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, not only before kings, but before he got to the main king, he got to the governor here.
Yep.
And he didn't get anywhere with this guy called Paul. So when the other guy showed up, he just left him bound, making a point to the other guy that was going to be governor that this Paul is a hard nut to crack. And bless his heart, Paul did it just the way the Lord had wanted it done.
Amen.
And so that's another thing that we need to learn and to keep in our hearts and minds and to remember that the will and the way of God just cannot be overcome. Because in the end, God is going to win out. And certainly, Paul being that one that stands before these people and between and have them people between him and the people and God. So man can tremble in his boots. Sure enough, he can certainly do that in that situation. Now, this is something that Felix will pay for all the way down, as long as he lived, I'm sure. Because when he didn't continue to look into and to ask God for his will, then he had kind of washed himself of the whole situation. And so that's kind of the way it is with God when he's putting these things into these different groups of people. He says, do it until the end. And that's the end for you, whether it's the grave or whether it is the appearing. And if it's for the appearing, then it will go beyond the grave. Because whatever it is that the Holy Spirit takes to the Son sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, you get whatever it is, plus whatever they're going to give you for the change to live for eternity, forever. On and on and on. Isn't that something?
Amen.
God bless us all. Thank you, Rock.